Blog Talk Radio.
The enemy came up against your home. The enemy came up against your children. The enemy came up against your name. The enemy came up against your character. You will win, win. You will win, you win.
To this edition of UCA Radio, where you will find music and a message. Now, keep in mind that UCA stands for United Christian Ambassadors, and all of you who are believers and workers for Jesus Christ, and ministers of Jesus Christ, you are a UCA member. It goes for pastors, prophets, everybody. That makes you a UCA member, okay, because you are ambassadors for Christ, and you stand for the kingdom of God, okay? All right. So I'm your host. I'm Pastor T. Meyer McCain of Church of Jesus Christ Ministry, which, by the way, is located at 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786. That's 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786. And our services starts at 1:30 p.m. every Sunday. So if you missed your morning service, come on. The Lord is still moving on Sunday, so just come on and worship with us at 1:30 p.m. every Sunday, okay? All righty. Okay, now, what I want you to do right now is text your family, your friends, inbox them, and tell them to dial into this special edition of UCA Radio. Okay, the number to dial in is 646-668-8537. That's 646-668-8537. Or you can look for my post on Facebook, on Twitter, Alignable, or Instagram. Just click on the link where you see the post of today's show in order to listen from your computer. And you can click on the link today and all this week on Facebook if you want to listen to the program. You know, let's say you missed it today, then you can, if you see the post on Facebook, even if you see it tomorrow because you missed it today, you can click on the post and it'll play the entire program, okay, on Facebook. You can just click on it. Or if you happen to see it somewhere else on Twitter, or Alignable, if it's this particular program, just click on the link or the picture, okay? And if you see it on a Alignable Twitter or Instagram, just click on the link, okay? And then you can listen to the entire program. All right, and also remember to tune in to The Message of Life with T. Meyer and Tusila McCain on HSBN.TV. Yep, that's right. The Message of Life with T. Meyer and Tusila McCain on HSBN.TV. You can always also catch us on YouTube and many other apps anytime this week. So join us, and we know that you will be blessed with that. Also, would like to remind a lot of you, those of you who don't know, I have a book that has been released. It's available on Amazon. It's available in paperback or electronically, you know, ebooks, and it's going to soon be available in audio, okay? It's called Who is God? Unveiling the Mystery. This book is just going to help you get to know who God really is, the God that you serve, the God that you worship, the God that you depend on. Who is he? What is the mystery between Jesus and God, God and Christ? What is this mystery? And these things are going to be unveiled to you. Even the mystery of who you are in Christ, all will be unveiled to you. So just pick up the book, Who is God? Unveiling the Mystery by Pastor T. Meyer McCain. And it's available on Amazon. So go ahead and do that. As a matter of fact, go ahead and do that today. All right. Okay. Let's see. I think I've finished with all of my announcements for today. So don't go away. We'll be right back. And when we come back, we'll get right into our message for today. Okay. Stay right there.
You in your car. You at the house. On your job. Be encouraged, boo. Come on!
Take it off. from a mighty long way. That's why we love you. Come on.
Hallelujah. You are listening to UCA Radio, where you will find music and a message. And I'm Pastor T. Meyer McCain. I am your host, Pastor T. Meyer McCain of Church of Jesus Christ Ministry. And we want to welcome all of you who may have just tuned in. You tuned in just in time for us to go into our message for today. Actually, it's a message for the week, a message for life. Okay. Our message today is a little bit different. It's a question. The message today, the title is a question. And the question is, did Jesus go to hell for us? That's the question. Oh, Father God, that you touch every person that's listening to this broadcast. Help them to understand the reality, the revelation, the deep understanding, Lord. Give them deep understanding of this message and let it live in their hearts. Help them to understand your word and your purpose, Lord, your plan of the ages. Let the revelation of Jesus Christ come forth and let the people be blessed, O God, and let them wax strong in the spirit and grow into another level, grow up to another level, wax strong, Lord, so that they can get closer and closer and closer to you. Help us all, Lord, to understand you, to know you, who you really are, so that we can love you more. In Jesus' mighty, wonderful name we pray. Amen and amen. Did Jesus go to hell for us? That's the question. Did he really? Well, many people say that he didn't. And there are many that say that he did. And when I say many people, I mean many theologians, many pastors, they say he didn't go. And then yet there are many that say he did. First of all, let's briefly examine hell. What is and where is hell? Hell is the abode beneath the earth, a spiritual place of the unredeemed dead, or the spirits of the damned. Hell is a negative place of continual sorrows, pain, agony, fear, suffering, burning, hatred, depression, and hopelessness to the highest degree. Now, it's a lot more than that, but I can't name everything, but it's to the highest degree. Hell is a place of total darkness. It is so dark you can feel it. With an occasionally you will see light from burning flames, light enough for you to see the most grotesque, filthy, nauseating, foul-smelling demons. It's a place of total exhaustion and no rest, no relief, just constant torment. People, you do not want to go to a place like this. Hell is total, total separation from God. It is a place where there is no real life, no real life, no pure light, no love, no gentleness, no kindness, no music, no singing and dancing, no joy and happiness, no fresh air or good food, no beauty or positive energy. None of that exists in hell. The early church believed that after his death, Christ descended into hell to rescue the souls of the righteous, such as Adam and Eve, and many of the other saints. Jesus descends and breaks down the doors of hell, unbinds the prisoners, and leads the just to heaven. Believe it or not, some people don't even believe that hell truly exists. But Jesus spoke often of hell. Therefore, it must exist. Keep in mind now, Jesus spoke of hell existing. It has to exist because we're talking about the creator of all things here. We're talking about Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, the same Word that created all things. So if he speaks often of hell, it has to exist. Even Peter affirmed the true existence of hell when he spoke of the angels who left their first estate. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them in chains of darkness to be held for judgment. Those angels, he sent them to hell. So hell exists. Some Christians don't believe that Jesus descended into hell, but scriptures confirm that he did. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 19. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit, in which he also went and preached to the spirits in prison, who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. Those people were in there in prison like that for a long time. So according to Peter, Jesus spent time between his death and his resurrection in hell, preaching to the souls who were already there, giving them a chance at the forgiveness available through his sacrifice, not previously available before his death. Before his death, all of that wasn't available. So many people had died before his sacrifice. So he had to go and minister to them. Even the Apostles' Creed confirms that Jesus descended into hell. Here is the entire Apostles' Creed written and agreed upon by the 12 apostles themselves. Here's how it goes. The Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Apostles' Creed. Hell is the place or state into which unrepentant sinners pass in the general judgment, or, as some Christians believe, immediately after death. Hell is, like I said, total separation from God. It is the total opposite of heaven. When Adam disobeyed God's direct commandment, he was destined for hell and death. We must understand that when Adam died, the whole man died, body, soul, and spirit. Therefore, when Jesus died on the cross for us, he died for the whole man, body, soul, and spirit, which means that all the sins of the world were placed on Jesus from the time of Adam's sin even to this very day. Jesus died as though he were a sinner. He died as though he was a sinner, like you and me, having all of our sins, every one imaginable, placed upon him. He became the scapegoat for humanity. And you understand that the scapegoat in the Old Testament, the priest would lay their hands on a goat and put all, and by them doing this, they're putting all the sins of the people on the goat. And then they open the doors and they release the goat out in the wilderness. And therefore, all of our sins were taken away. It was put on the scapegoat. Well, Jesus became our scapegoat. And he was crucified outside the camp. So he became the scapegoat for humanity. So he died physically, and then he had to go into the spirit realm in order to fully take the punishment of Adam's sin. Remember, he had to cover everything, body, soul, and spirit. So he had to take the full punishment of Adam's sin, of which we were all a part of, because we were in the loins of Adam when he sinned. And the curse of that sin, the curse that was because of that sin, has been placed on us. The punishment of that sin is placed on us as well. Therefore, Jesus delivered us from the full punishment of our sins, or of that fall. Because of the fall of Adam, a curse was placed on the entire human race. But Jesus delivered us from the full punishment of that curse. And that punishment was death, hell, and the lake of fire. But Jesus delivered us from that. The Lord even prophesied himself that he would spend time in hell in Matthew chapter 12, verse 39 and 40. This is the Lord speaking. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. He's prophesying of his descent into hell, because the heart of the earth is hell. The Lord also prophesied through King David hundreds of years earlier when he said in Psalm 16, verse 10, the Lord said, speaking by the Spirit through King David, because David was prophesying, he said, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. David was not referring to himself in this scripture. He was prophesying by the Holy Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter made that clear in Acts chapter 13, verse 35 through 37. Peter said, wherefore he saith also in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep. Or in other words, David died and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. David saw corruption. His body was went into a, you know, the corrupted state. But he, talking about Jesus, he says, but he whom God raised again saw no corruption. And it is true. Jesus' body was never saw corruption. As a matter of fact, they couldn't even find his body. That resurrection power raised him up. He never saw corruption. Peter explained that scripture and made it clear that David was prophesying about Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't burn in hell, and he didn't go to the lake of fire. Now, that's not at all what I'm trying to say here. He did not do that, but he did suffer the sorrows of hell because he had to go to hell to take on the full punishment of Adam's sin and our sins that we were all destined to suffer. He did it for us. Acts chapter 2, verse 24. God hath raised up Christ, having loosed the sorrows of hell, as it was impossible that he should be holden by it. God raised him up, having loosed the sorrows of hell. To be loosed from the sorrows of hell means that you were in hell at one point. But God freed him and raised him up. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? And like I said, the lower parts of the earth is hell. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Therefore, he conquered hell, death, and the grave for us. Romans 14, verses 8 and 9. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord, or sleep. Whether we live, therefore, or sleep, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. That's why he now has dominion over the heavens and the earth. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He had to suffer for the dead as well. Jesus had to suffer for those who were already dead, for the souls in hell who never knew Jesus Christ. They had to see someone while they were in hell. They had to see someone loose the pains of hell. They had to see someone come out of there, come out of hell, so that they could believe as well and be set free. The souls that are in hell can still think, smell, hear, feel, just like they did when they were on earth. They can still do that. Jesus had to go and free many of them because he had to go to prepare a place in heaven for us, the living, and for them, those who were dead, who had no knowledge of Jesus Christ, so that they could be delivered from the lake of fire that was prepared for the devil and his angels. and also prepared for those who fully rejected the Lord and refused to repent. These are the ones who have earned a place in the lake of fire. Even many people today, the way they're living their lives, they're earning a place in the lake of fire. Many don't believe that Jesus went to hell because he told one of the criminals on the cross that he would be with him in paradise. Remember that scripture, Luke chapter 23, verse 43? And Jesus said unto him, truly I say unto you, today shall thou be with me in paradise. Now, was Jesus talking about a 24-hour day, or was he speaking spiritually? You know, a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. 1,000 years is as a day. So within that day, he would be with Jesus. Is that what the Lord was saying? Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. But Jesus spent 3 days in hell. So where was the thief on the cross at that point? The criminal on the cross did not go to hell. He didn't go that day. When he died, when that criminal died, he did not go to hell because Jesus went for him. The body of the criminal went to the dust of the ground, but his spirit returned to the Lord. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. But the criminal was not resurrected. Keep that in mind. He was not resurrected at that point. He could not receive his resurrected body not until after Jesus received his. Jesus had to be resurrected first before anyone could receive their resurrected bodies. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 13? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Jesus has to ascend first to heaven in order to get his resurrected celestial body, and then we are to follow. We follow so that we can get our resurrected celestial bodies. But he has to go first. He had to go first in order to prepare a place for us, as it is written in John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Well, where's Jesus? He's on the right hand of the Father. The criminal on the cross was given a promise by Jesus. His destiny was sealed that very day. His salvation was sure, and he would be with Jesus in paradise. But first, Jesus would have to go to hell for him as well. He even went to hell for the other criminal on the cross. The Lord has gone, when the Lord went to hell, he went to hell for everyone, for all criminals. Then afterwards, Jesus would be resurrected. That's why it's so important for us to believe in the Lord. If you believe, then you are delivered. That's why he's our Savior, our Deliverer. You are delivered from the pangs of hell if you believe. But if you reject him, then you're going to go. Still, many people don't believe that Jesus went to hell because they say that when Jesus was on the cross, he said, it is finished. In Aramaic, he said, it is finished, my bride. In the King James Version, it is written in John 19:30. Here's the scripture. He said, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. In other words, he died. He said, it is finished. Yes. Yes, indeed, it was finished. Jesus was referring to something specific. By saying it is finished, Jesus was signaling to the Jewish world that there was no more need for sacrifices or temples. because that his work brought ultimate fulfillment to what their sacrificial system foreshadowed. Yes, he fulfilled his mission as the sacrificial Lamb of God, so therefore there's no more need for sacrifice. His cross fulfilled and finished the prophecies of the Messiah's first coming to the earth. There was nothing written that was not fulfilled and now offered to his bride, his church, us, and to whosoever will receive and believe in him. It's offered to whoever. Now the way is made. The way is made for all those who believe in him to go directly to the Father and no longer through a priest or a system, a denomination or organization. We can go right to the Father from your living room, from your bedroom, wherever you are, you can go directly to the Father in Jesus' name. That's why the veil of the temple was rent. Matthew 27:51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. We can now go through the veil directly to the Father in Jesus' holy name. Jesus had to die openly in front of many witnesses. They had to see him die, and Mary had to be a witness that he has risen. He is alive, but when she saw him, she couldn't touch him because he said to her, "Touch me not, for I have not ascended to my Father." Now, he had came back to life, and she saw him. She was a witness. She saw him. But why did he say, "Touch me not, for I have not ascended to my Father"? What does that mean? It means that he still had something that must be done. He had to ascend to the Father. That was something that must be done. In the priesthood, when the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies, he couldn't be touched. Because if he was touched, he would have to start the whole process over. Jesus couldn't be touched because he was about to go into the Holy of Holies, and he would be defiled. So that's why he said, "Touch me not, for I have not ascended to my Father." He had to complete his mission. There was still something to be done. He had to receive his celestial resurrected body. And then he returned and appeared before his disciples to show them the resurrected body that they too shall receive. Then they were able to touch him. It was finished. But he didn't say all was finished. He didn't say it's all finished. He said, "It is finished." But all wasn't finished because Jesus still had to go into the bowels of the earth and die for those already in hell. Many saw him die, and many saw him after his resurrection, even to this day. Whenever Jesus appears to us today, it will always be in his resurrected, glorified, celestial body, the body that he has prepared for us. Yes, he took the full punishment of all of our sins. He died for us. So now we don't necessarily have to die. What? He died for us. So now we don't necessarily have to die. Why? You may ask, because someone died for us. If someone died for you, then that means that you don't have to die. And keep in mind when I say this, that Christians don't die. We change. We drop this body, but we continue to live. Jesus even went to hell for us, which means that we don't have to go to hell either. Why? Because someone went for us. Someone went to hell for us. So therefore, we don't have to go to hell. And that someone who did all of this for us is the one and only, the Lord Jesus Christ. But all still wasn't finished. even after his resurrection. You see, when he said it is finished, yes, a certain thing was finished. A specific work was finished, but all wasn't finished because he had to go to the Father and then return in spirit, the Holy Spirit, and dwell in his people. He had to return and dwell in his people, in his disciples, and he is coming again and shall dwell in us in this hour by means of his Spirit. And his Spirit is holy. And he's coming upon us with even a greater anointing. He will fill us up, fill us completely up with the sevenfold anointing of Holy Spirit and fire, which is the seven spirits of God resting on us forever. Yes, he will live in us forever, changing this world into the full kingdom of God. Think about that. He will show himself to the world as our manifested King, our Lord and our God, our Master, Savior, our Deliverer, our Healer, our Champion, our Provider, our Supplier, our Covering, our Protector, our Peace, and the very love of our lives. Then the world will know that he is truly Lord. As it is written in Philippians chapter 2, verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, for the glory of God the Father. Praise the Lord. You know, it just makes you want to thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for all that you have done for us. We thank you, Lord, and we give you the praise. And yes, Father God, we walk in agreement with you. We walk in agreement with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we accept and receive everything that he did for us, his life, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. We receive it, Lord, and we believe your holy word. Thank you, Jesus. You are truly awesome, wonderful, awesome God. Yes, indeed. He is an awesome God. You are listening to UCA Radio, where you will hear music and a message. UCA stands for United Christian Ambassadors, and we are all ambassadors for Christ. Praise the Lord. Here's some scriptures that you can study for the week, okay? It's 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them in chains of darkness to be held for judgment. Also, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 19, for Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit, in which he also went and preached to the spirits in prison, who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. Praise the Lord. Let's continue. These are some scriptures. I hope you're writing them down so that you can just go back over it, maybe study it, look it up and everything. Matthew 12, verse 39 and 40. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the earth, in the heart of the earth. For, here's another one, Psalm 16, verse 10. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Praise the Lord. Hope you got that. Here's one more, okay? Acts 2, verse 24. That God hath raised up Christ, having loosed the sorrows of hell, as it was impossible that he would be holden by it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. You want one more? Okay, just write this down. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, we're so glad that you take the time to listen and to be with us and to enjoy the messages. And I hope you are being blessed by these messages. I really do. So just continue to join us and tell more of your friends and family about us. Every week we're here. We're here every week, every Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific time. So check your time zone, okay? All righty. Listen, wouldn't it be a good thing if the entire world believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? Wouldn't it be a good thing? Well, that day is coming when the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea, and all will know who Jesus is. If the world
Thank you.
Leaves.
Thank you very much. This next song deals with people in every nation on the face of the earth. If they would truly seek the face of the Lord with all their hearts and receive Him, I think that this would be the beginning of the kingdom of God on earth. Listen.
Searching high and low for peace, but there shall be no peace, my friend, until we all lend an ear to the one and only God who can wipe away all our tears.
Oh, I tell you, it's the world within, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. It's us with them.
Everybody now.
Hallelujah. The world will know, and everybody, the whole world will sing hallelujah, because Jesus is King. He is Lord. He's King. King of kings and Lord of lords. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you again next week. Let the church say amen. God bless you.
Second time around, but before you go, there's something I'd like to say. Everything's not what it seems. There's a stronger force behind the scenes. He's in our lives every day. He's right there when we call. In him is where my strength lies. Love.
love.